Welcome to Hacking Your ADHD. I'm your host, William Kerb, and I have ADHD. On this podcast, I dig into the tools, tactics, and best practices to help you work with your ADHD brain. Hey team, this week we're chatting with Maddie DiGabrielli, an Australian science communicator who's turned her personal journey with ADHD into a mission to help others. Through her adult ADHD starter kit and corporate workshops, Maddie breaks down ADHD management into bite-sized, easily digestible pieces. In this episode, we dive into the specific tools that can become part of your everyday toolkit for managing your ADHD. We discuss timers, headphones, pillboxes, blankets, and more in this episode. If you've been wanting an episode that goes into the actual tools that I and many others use in their day-to-day ADHD life, then this is the episode. Maddie brings the goods. If you'd like to follow along on the show notes page, you can find that at hackingyouradhd.com/181. It's important to me that the supplements I take are of the highest quality, and that's why for the last 7 years I've been drinking AG1. Unlike many supplement brands, AG1 is constantly searching for how to do things better. At 52 iterations of their formula and counting, their team is always trying to find better ways to source, test, and aim to find the best quality ingredients available. I've been asked if AG1 is the real deal, and honestly, even before they were a sponsor for the podcast, they had already made it into my daily routine. This is because quality for AG1 isn't just a buzzword. It's a commitment backed by expert-led scientific research, high-quality ingredients, industry-leading manufacturing, and rigorous testing. At each step of the process, AG1 goes above and beyond industry standards. I can trust what's in every scoop of AG1 because AG1 is NSF certified for sport, one of the most rigorous, independent quality and safety certification programs in the supplement industry. And I just love how easy it is to fit into my day, because I know starting a new habit is hard, so when I do, it's important to me that I know I'm doing the right thing. And taking care of my health shouldn't be complicated. AG1 simplifies this by covering my nutritional bases and setting me up for success in just 60 seconds. It makes that habit of taking care of myself that much easier. Knowing that AG1's ingredients are heavily researched for efficacy and quality means that I can trust that every scoop also includes prebiotics, probiotics, and digestive enzymes for gut support. I've partnered with AG1 for so long because they make such a high-quality product that easily has worked its way into my daily routine. So, if you want to replace your multivitamin and more, start with AG1. Try AG1 and get a free 1-year supply of vitamin D3, K2, and 5 free AG1 travel packs with your first subscription at drinkag1.com/ADHD. That's drinkag1.com/ADHD. One more time, drinkag1.com/ADHD. Check it out. I also wanted to let you know about the Hacking Your ADHD newsletter, Any and All Distractions. And that's what this newsletter is all about. The things that have caught my interest over the past week that I think also might be interesting to you. In it, I bring you the top things of the week that have caught my attention from the world of ADHD and beyond. If that sounds like something you'd like in your inbox, just head over to hackingyouradhd.com/newsletter and sign up. All right, keep on listening to find out what goes into an ADHD toolkit. You emailed me originally to talk about this ADHD toolkit idea to help people get into managing their ADHD. So can you tell me a little bit more about that idea? Because I think that's something that people like, I want to start managing my ADHD, but I don't know where to start.
Absolutely. I was really excited and interested to hear you talk about the idea of a toolkit to manage your ADHD, because that's an idea that I really landed on myself over the last few years. Like quite a few of your listeners, I imagine. I was diagnosed as an adult, so I was 29 when I was diagnosed. And I was diagnosed with ADHD because I was having problems with my ADHD. Mm-hmm. Almost by definition, you only get diagnosed with ADHD if you are struggling with symptoms of ADHD.
Yeah.
And for me, obviously, getting proper medical care, medication for me personally has been a real game changer. And there's a whole range of medical therapies that I've worked with professionals that have been really life-changing. But I found that I still had all these really practical, logistical, organizational challenges in my life that didn't need medical solutions or didn't necessarily have medical solutions, but I still needed support and help. And once I knew I had ADHD, I found I could actually start identifying gradually and through quite a lot of trial and error tools that were ADHD appropriate that helped me with all these different areas of my life. And at the time, I found myself really wishing that I didn't have to find this out through trial and error. I was hoping that everything that was ADHD appropriate came with a label that said ADHD appropriate, and I could just run through those things and try them all out and see what worked for me. That didn't exist at the time, which was the inspiration for me behind starting my company Cognation and starting running workshops about, you know, understanding ADHD. Almost an intro, a starter kit, like you said, a starter kit for adult ADHD. Like, here's just some basics, some practical basics.
Yeah, because that's basically, like, I had a lot of the same thoughts when I was starting this podcast. It's like, okay, where do I need help with ADHD and where do I get started with it? Because it's hard.
It's really hard and it's not clear. There aren't a lot of resources, and there especially aren't a lot of resources designed for adults. I mean, resources that do exist for kids for ADHD are so important and they're so incredible that they exist, but they're mostly designed for like kid problems like homework, or they're mostly designed for the parents of kids with ADHD to help them. And it's like, I'm my own parent with ADHD. You know, I'm 32. I have a mortgage. I don't have someone running my life for me. I'm running my life.
Yeah, I mean, and I think that is like the biggest thing, is because a lot of the strategies to help with ADHD do require this executive function to get started with them. And I mean, I think that's why I always recommend medication with people, is because I'm like, that makes doing the strategies to get your ADHD under control so much easier, because the medication on itself won't get you where you want to be usually, because you have a lot of bad strategies you're using. But to fix your strategies, you need a kickstart.
The point about lifting yourself up by your bootstraps is that it's literally impossible to do. You need extra support into the system to change anything. You cannot actually pick yourself up by the bootstraps.
Yeah, it's funny how that phrase got changed to people imagine it now.
Yeah. It's an interesting one. That's why I reached out to you to say that I just really resonated with that message. I really appreciated hearing that idea from someone else because I chimed with it so well. And then I also was just excited to talk about some of the things in my toolbox because I love talking about it. And I love hearing from other people what works for them, because I feel like a lot of ADHD people, we're really smart, we're really great creative problem solvers, but we're all working in isolation. We're all sitting by ourselves, reinventing the wheel over and over and over and over again. And if we could just pull that knowledge and share a bit more, it would have saved me a lot of time personally. So I've got to believe that it's going to be helpful for other people out there as well.
Yeah. Now, before we get into the specific tools here, I do want to also slow down and be like, can you tell me, when you envision an ADHD toolbox, is there a physical thing or is it just like a kind of mental checkbox? What are we envisioning here?
Well, it's a mix of things. Quite a lot of them are physical items. I, in my head, refer to them as, these are my medical support devices, or my health support devices, which just helps me remember that they're important. It's like a kind of pretentious name to give like physical things like clocks and lists and whiteboards and whatever, but it helps me remember that I need to take them seriously because they might seem trivial, but my life will fall apart without them. And then it helps me also explain to other people why they're significant, so that, you know, say I'm saying I need a clock on the wall and someone doesn't want to hang a clock there for some reason, whatever that would be, I can bring to that discussion, this is how important it is for me because I have time blindness. This is a support device for me. Is there any way that we can make this work or something like this work? Because this is what I need. So a range of physical things, mental things. One of the items in my toolbox I've brought along is actually some vocabulary that I use with my partner in my household that has been really, really helpful for both of us. So it's not one kind of thing, but it's just a range of really flexible tools that are designed to be flexible, designed to be adaptable, and to support me where I'm at. So they're not a list of chores I have to do or tasks I have to manage. It's whatever is happening for me that day, I've got extra help and extra support, the really important things.
All right. And so it is not going to also just be like a toolbox that we carry around with us either. It's, you know, the things that are just in our life that help us.
The things in our life that help us. That said, I love DIY. I love carpentry. I love craftiness. And I have an actual tool belt that is just so good that sometimes after I'm finished working in the garage, I'll just keep wearing it around for a while because I have 8 pockets basically strapped around my waist. And I feel like most people would appreciate something like that because it's great. I can bring all my things with me.
Who doesn't want more pockets?
Yeah. I mean, I also still lose things, but whatever. At least I'm not trying to juggle 15 things every time I go from room to room.
Exactly. All right, well, how about we jump into some of the items that you use in your toolbox to help manage your ADHD?
Absolutely. All right, so my first one is my favorite thing. This is sleep headphones. So obviously, this is a podcast. It's not a visual medium, but I am still holding it up on the Zoom camera so that William can see that. I'm sorry for all your listeners. Maybe I'll see if I can supply a photo to go in the episode notes. This is just a soft, stretchy gray headband that has a little Bluetooth controller in the front, and it has two flat little speakers sewn into the headband itself that go over each of your ears. And these are headphones that are really comfy to wear while you sleep. And I wear these while I fall asleep, I want to say every night. And these have been a game changer for me because, like, the vast majority of people with ADHD, I struggle with sleep. And for a lot of people, that might be like delayed phase sleep disorders. It might be whatever it is. I really struggle to lie down and go to sleep because 9 times out of 10, lying quietly in the dark with my eyes closed is too boring, and my brain becomes more and more and more awake. And so I'll start to, you know, think of things and daydream and like plan my day or ruminate on something, and I will become more and more focused on that, and my whole body just becomes more and more awake. And then it's 2 in the morning and I'm just going, go to sleep, go to sleep. And that's really unhelpful loop for me to get stuck in. So I use sleep headphones. I fall asleep listening to podcasts, audiobooks, anything at all like that that's just interesting enough for me to drift off to it. And it's really changed my life. And that, I think, was really significant to me just because sleep is so important. And it was something I struggled with so much.
We could do an entire episode just on the sleep toolbox, because there are so many things that I know I personally need to get to sleep. It is something that is important to be like, yeah, these are tools that help me. And I know if I don't have good sleep, everything else in the day is going to be a, for lack of a better word, tragedy for my productivity. Like, I will just sit there and stare off, and I will find any way to not do what I want. It's probably the number one thing for managing my ADHD. It's getting good sleep. And so, yeah, there's going to be a lot of tools that I need to help. Like, personally, I use like a weighted blanket.
Love a weighted blanket.
Took me years to find the one I like, which is like a, this like really like chunky knit blanket. So it doesn't have any actual weight in it.
It's just a heavy blanket?
Yeah.
Oh my gosh, that's so cozy.
Yeah, because it's like this big like weave of things. It's got all these like air holes in it, so it's not hot either.
That sounds perfect. It sounds like you're describing one of Chris Evans' gorgeous sweaters in Knives Out.
Yeah, something like that. It's just this big,
chunky cable knit.
Yeah.
Love that. Music Cozy is the brand of sleep headphone that I use. I'm not affiliated with them in any way. It's one of the 5 million brands selling these on Amazon. I think it cost me $30 Australian. That Music Cozy headphones, they were so important for me because that also helped me realize that why I needed ADHD appropriate sleep help and advice, because I found that pretty much all the traditional received advice around getting sleep, and there's a lot out there, a lot of people talk about sleep hygiene, it's so important and foundational for all of us. Mm-hmm. A lot of the neurotypical advice for how to have good sleep hygiene doesn't work for me, just fundamentally doesn't work for me. I need to almost flip it on its head. I don't need gradually winding down before bed, not eating anything before bed, gradually turn off all lights and stimulations and slowly relax into sleep. Does not work for me. Last night, I wanted to make sure I got to sleep reasonably early. So about 15 minutes before I was in bed, I was on my treadmill, walking at a really brisk pace, listening to a podcast and playing a game on my phone. Mm-hmm. I was doing the exact opposite of what you would do for someone neurotypical who wanted to go to sleep really soon. And I was using my body. I was moving around. I was engaging myself. I was making sure that I wasn't going to be feeling restless in bed or bored. I was making sure I wasn't going to feel like a chore. I was going to keep listening to the same podcast as I went to bed. You know, it just completely different from a normal sleep routine, but it really worked for me.
Yeah. I think that's also a great point too, is that, yeah, there's going to be a lot of things about neurotypical sleep that don't work for us. There are certain things like, yes, you're still going to want to have a very dark room. You're still going to want to have things that are going
to keep... You need to be cool and comfortable.
Yeah. But then like the amount... Going to bed's boring.
It's so boring. I'm having a different chemical reaction to boredom than other people. It was really important to me because people talk about like discipline and management, and I'd spent so long failing at received wisdom and common sense advice. Or it felt like I was failing because none of it worked for me. And then I felt like, well, maybe I'm just bad at going to sleep. Maybe I'm just badly disciplined or something, but it just wasn't working for me. It doesn't work for my brain. These are the things that work for my brain.
And I think that's the key with this toolbox idea too, is that we go, okay, let's find the things that work. Let's have a place that you record the things that you do find that work, so that, you know, like in a year, I might be like, man, I used to have this good routine. What was I doing? And I can like, oh yeah, I was using these headphones and they really worked. I should try that again.
Oh my gosh. For later when we talk about, I guess, vocabulary, I will grab a little flow chart that I actually made and printed out and stuck next to my bed. And it's for when I'm having like a really bad morning. And it's just a flow chart of steps of like, are you stuck? Do I need to be anywhere? Yes or no? And then it was like, if yes, then it's like, okay, am I running late? You need to do this. And then text someone and then so on and so forth. And it's just a little visual reminder of a bunch of those tools I have for when I'm in like a real analysis paralysis or executive dysfunction moment.
Yeah. And I think that's such a good point too, is that we do forget those things when we're not feeling well.
Yeah. If you have ADHD, you have short-term memory problems. Just by definition, that's something that you have. You're going to struggle with recall and struggle to remember things that you know.
There's been like mornings, I'm like, man, I am having such a hard time waking up. Like usually it's just like I'm having my coffee and I'm like, I didn't make coffee this morning. Oh my God. How did I forget that?
I know. These habits, they don't stick. Actually, that is a really nice segue onto my next.
Yeah, let's hear
my it. Next item. Because it's morning for me, as your listeners can hear, I'm Australian. So this interview is happening at 9 a.m. on a Wednesday morning for me, which means I've just done most of my morning routine. So it's really top of mind. And the second thing in my ADHD toolkit is a days of the week medication dispenser, which again, I'm holding up, even though your listeners cannot see, and I will supply a photo if you like. But it's just a clear plastic pill dispenser with little things that pop up. And each one of them has a letter on it for the day of the week. So SMT, Sunday through Saturday. And what that does for me is I have it on my bedside table. I take a variety of different pills every morning and I always struggle to remember if I've taken them or not. So I can just look over and if the day that it is, so Wednesday, has pills in it, then I'm like, oh, I haven't taken them. And then I take them and then that's my reminder for the day. That's my week by week reminder. And it's one of the only things that's helped me actually remember to take medication every single day.
Yeah. I know in our pre-interview, we discussed that the pill cap timers aren't available in Australia, which is what I use. Because I have like multiple reminders on my phone. It's like, take it. And then like one half an hour later, like asking, hey, did you do this? And then I can just like look at the bottle and see if I took it. Because that is one of the scary things too, when you're like, I don't know if I took my medication today.
Yes, absolutely. And I think this is what people really struggle to understand about ADHD. Whether you have ADHD or not, it's very confusing, but it affects your short-term memory. And that, apart from being, you know, things that you're just talking about, things going on in your day, is literally the last 10 minutes of what you have seen and heard is your short-term memory. And if you have ADHD, your short-term memory, statistically speaking, is likely cut in half. You are not recording in your memory. It is going in and going right back out again of, have you taken your hand from the pillbox to your mouth? Or did something happen to interrupt that? You're just not retaining any of that information. So I don't know. Unless it's right there, I need a visual reminder and I need to not have to do anything to record that information. So I started by trying to keep a diary or a little notebook next to my bed where I would mark whether or not I would take my ADHD medication. But then I couldn't remember if I'd taken my medication and forgotten to make a mark about it or just forgotten to take my medication and not made a mark about it. The making a record was an extra task.
Yeah.
Just adding a task to the task that I was already struggling to do.
I know exactly what you mean there, where it's just like, yeah, that's another thing that I can forget if I did. Because I've definitely like taken my medication, then come back and been like, oh, I need to do that. And I walk over and I'm like, see that the thing is like reset. I'm like, oh, I have no memory of having done this. How can I have zero memory of this?
That's the thing I think a lot of really well-intentioned advice around for people for ADHD or that people with ADHD have often heard, I think the advice doesn't quite understand what the weakness is or the challenge is happening cognitively. So they give you advice that requires more executive function. I think that's also true of a lot of advice for parents of kids with ADHD and why it doesn't translate very well. You're assuming that the parent has more executive function.
Yeah.
And that's often true, but you can't then just transpose it to an individual as an adult trying to look after themselves. One of the things about this medication days of the week that I really like, or that I think is kind of significant, is that this cost me about $8 at my local chemist. And it's not cute. There are a lot of really cute like pill boxes out there, days of the week. They're metal or enameled. This is just kind of clear plastic. It's slightly ugly. It's got really big, bright green tabs on it for opening each day of the week because it's designed primarily for older people who may be in care, who may also be struggling with their memory for a variety of reasons. Because people with ADHD are not the only people who struggle with memory in a variety of ways. But because many people don't really think of ADHD as a medical problem, often I have not been directed towards these existing medical tools that would be really helpful for me or are really helpful for me. So this is something that this pill holder is cheap, easily available, simple, works really, really well, has no battery, requires no input from me to make it work, except for putting my pills in once a week. But my doctor didn't say, hey, you might find this useful if you're struggling to take your medication, because I think people often put people with ADHD in a separate mental category to, for example, disability.
Mm-hmm.
Or chronic health conditions, especially if you're someone with ADHD and you happen to be young or generally able-bodied or not necessarily present with many kind of physical manifestations, people really struggle to remember that ADHD is a chronic health condition.
Yeah. One of the weird tools that I picked up recently is just a grabber bar, you know, where you can squeeze the trigger and it like closes and it like using that for cleaning stuff up off the floor makes it so much easier to do it that I actually clean stuff up off the floor. Like it solves an executive function hurdle for like picking up my kids' toys.
Oh my gosh, that's such a good idea.
Like for one, it makes it a little bit more fun, but it's the like, oh, I don't have to lean over and do this. I can just grab things, go around, and even my kids enjoy doing it more. I'm like, oh, can you use this while cleaning your room? They're like, yeah. It does not work every
that's
time.
That's such a good example.
Yeah, it is not a typical tool that would be assigned for ADHD, but it is a great tool to have.
That is such a good example. And like you said, what you said just then was it doesn't work every time, but you probably don't need it every time as well. But sometimes it's helpful. That's why it's a toolkit. It's not like a prescription. It's not you have to do this every day. It's sometimes this is going to be useful for you. Sometimes it's not going to be necessary or it's not going to do the trick. It's fine. It's part of a range of things.
Yeah.
You have kind of already stocked around your home or organized around your life.
Yeah. And I mean, it is specifically helpful for my household because I have children and picking up toys is they're always going to be on the floor. If I'm cleaning up a counter, not as useful, but it still
works.
That's
a good point. I just had a mental image of myself trying to use it to clear off my forest of empty coffee mugs off like the side of my bedside table and that going really poorly.
Yeah, I've definitely been like, I'll just grab this. I'm like, that wasn't even that hard. Why did I do that?
You know, we love trying new things.
Yeah.
One day it is going to work for something and you're going to have invented a $1 million industry.
Exactly.
Next item in the toolkit is a little clock, which is, this is a great time for it because right in the middle of the interview, right about that time, I was just trying to remember how much time has passed because I'm really enjoying this chat, which means that for me, no time has passed. I could keep chatting to you about this for 6 hours and it wouldn't really register until maybe I needed to go and get a drink or something. So this is a little clock that has been incredibly, incredibly helpful for me with my time blindness. And this is my shower clock. It does not hang in my shower, but it hangs just outside my shower where I can see it from anywhere in my bathroom. It is waterproof, steamproof, heat resistant. It's designed for all bathrooms. Just a little digital clock, and it helps me keep track of how long I'm in the shower for because I forget almost every time when I'm in the shower, I am not keeping track of the time mentally ever. And that's just something that creates a lot of stress when I'm getting ready in the morning. Many times in my life, I've zoned out in the shower and then suddenly had to be running late in a panic. So it makes me kind of anxious. I also sometimes find showers really boring and kind of painful to start. Just because I'm just not in the right headspace and I just don't have a lot of executive function and really don't want to have to stop doing whatever it is I'm doing. So it's really helpful for me to say, okay, I'm going to shower for 90 actual seconds, and that's fine. Just commit to that, get in the shower, see how you feel. And then I can actually have an objective tracker for how long that is, which might sound really silly, but I think it's also something we don't talk about a lot. But that for me is something that ADHD, like really bad executive dysfunction, affects. And I think it happens for a lot of people, and it's really easy to feel just a lot of shame or confusion or resentment for why a really simple, necessary daily part of life is tough. Getting that shower clock for me was something, it was really practical, so it helps a lot. But it was also a way to support myself without shaming myself, if that makes sense.
Yeah. Personal hygiene is hard because it is, again, boring, not fun.
Repetitive.
Yeah. For some people, like having like a shower radio or having some like the little Bluetooth speakers that can play podcasts in the shower.
I also have Bluetooth speakers that I wear with a shower cap. They are great. They're not one of my tools, but they absolutely could be. They've got little over-ear hooks, and I wear them under my shower cap, and I just keep listening to my podcast. Or I listen to like pump up music in the shower.
And it is funny with like showers. Yeah, because like the worst part of the showers are getting in the shower followed by getting out of the shower.
Right. It's transitions. I hate them and I'm no good at them.
And it's like both. It's like I don't want to get wet. And it's like now I don't want to go get dry.
And I don't want to get cold.
Yeah.
And so I will turn on the shower and let it run for a few minutes, like 30 seconds while I get ready to get in, like, you know, get undressed or whatever, which in Australia is a little bit verboten because we are a drought prone country. We have national education campaigns about not wasting water. And so that's something that by default, I don't ever do. But I realize that for myself, it just makes such a big difference for the water to already be warm and there's steam in the air and it's not such a big temperature transition, that I realize that for me personally, this is a health support thing. This is something that significantly improves my quality of life and daily hygiene to be able to run the shower for 30 seconds extra. So I'm just going to get over that mental block and I'm going to make that choice.
Yeah. And then you have the clock there to remind you not to take it too long. So it's fixing, you know.
Absolutely. Absolutely.
Yeah. I think it's a fine solution. And I think that's also a great mental thing to be like, hey, this is important for me, like, so that I can function as a person. Like, a lot of times we like overlook a lot of these aids because we're like, well, that's, you know, maybe it's a little wasteful, or I'll frequently have these like tomato soup sippers for lunch. And like, part of me is like, man, I should just make a really big pot of tomato soup and then I could have that all week and I wouldn't have to be wasting it with this. I'm like, but I won't do that. I just won't eat lunch for that week. And this is more wasteful, but it does let me function as a person way better.
Something that was really helpful for me and transformative for me was realizing that really often when we have these general conversations about waste or needfulness, people without ADHD are often using very different mental standards. So, for example, when they are saying something isn't needed, what they mean is it's equally easy for me to make a big pot of tomato soup or buy them prepackaged. Those are pretty comparable level tasks. For someone with executive dysfunction, cooking and organizing and timing and remembering to put things away in the freezer before they go moldy and all the rest of it, that is excessively difficult. That is an outsized level of difficulty. And that's kind of not really what we're talking about in general conversations about, is this necessary or is this useful or is it lazy to go for the easier route? It is so much more difficult for us to do this, that going the easier route is never lazy. I believe that really, really passionately. Yep. Literally never lazy. We always need to make things easier, simpler, less moving parts to treat our medical condition.
Laziness isn't really a thing.
Laziness doesn't exist.
You're just, when we're being lazy, we're just currently meeting ourselves where we're at.
Absolutely. I also think that's true for absolutely everybody. I think it's especially true for neurodivergence. I think you have to work really hard and take a very unkind interpretation of events to find a lazy neurodivergent person. And I thought of myself as lazy for decades. It was really important, a big part of my self-image of myself. But that was because I had the most unkind possible interpretation of myself. because I was judging myself by all these other standards.
Yeah, standards that even neurotypical people probably weren't meeting.
Yeah, probably.
We just make this image in our head like, oh yeah, I'll just work all of the time and breaks are for never.
Yeah, yeah, I will be always productive. I will have very weird thoughts about self-discipline, and this will be a Protestant work ethic, and it'll be fine, and capitalism isn't broken.
Exactly. And then
that's a bit of a swing.
Yeah, and then
we may be drifting off topic, but I would also love to come and have that podcast episode with you sometime.
Oh yeah, the things I've written about capitalism in my own journals. All right, let's move on to our next tool, though.
Absolutely. AirTags. AirTags, Tiles, Bluetooth trackers. I have them attached to my car keys, my house keys, my headphones. I have them attached or near virtually every significant thing in my life, or I have another form of Bluetooth tracking. So for my phone, I use a phone case instead of a wallet, and that's got my ID and my credit card and my public transport card in that wallet so that I can find my phone to find those things. And my gosh, transformative. If you have ADHD, do not try to store the location of important items in your short-term memory, because you can't. You just can't. You have maybe 3 or 4 slots in your short-term memory available for chunks of information, and they are too busy remembering the time you have to leave the house and have you fed your kids, pets, self, and one other piece of information. There will never be spare room to remember where you just put down your car keys. Yeah. There will never be. Get it off your slate. Stop trying to remember it. Attach a Bluetooth tracker to it. You can share them with the other people in your household so that they can also find the keys that you left in the cupboard or the fridge or wherever you left them, and then you're not having arguments about it. You can set up location tracking between your devices. So my phone buzzes me when I leave my keys behind somewhere that isn't my house.
Oh, I like that.
It's the best. I use iPhone things, but Tiles are not Apple specific. Tiles work with Androids and iPhones so that you can, you know, share them between people with 2 different kinds of phones. Whatever Bluetooth trackers you can attach to things, get them set up and ask someone maybe for help to set them up, because I struggle to set up like finicky settings and things like that. I'll get bored or distracted and stop halfway through. Ask someone to help you set it up. And it is a bit surveillance state. My privacy, as much as I ask apps not to track me and I, you know, use ad blockers and all the rest of it, I was like, it doesn't really serve my privacy to be locked out of my home for the 3rd time this month.
Yeah. I mean, I remember in first year of college, I lost my keys to my room for 3 weeks, and I just would happen to show up when people were coming into the room at the same time as them.
Yeah, that's a more reasonable solution for ADHD than either not losing the keys or organizing a replacement for the keys.
Yeah. Turned out they were in the bottom of my laundry basket, and I just hadn't been doing my laundry, so...
That is classic.
Yeah.
That is a classic. I don't have a solution for the laundry thing. I just have a division of labor where my husband does basically 100% of the laundry in my home, and I do 100% of the cooking, and that works really well for us.
One question I have about the devices is, do you have like a reminder to like change their batteries or replace them when they are going to be going out of service?
The AirTags and the Tiles that I use, they both have a little app you download on your phone and pair with, and they both, those apps give you notifications when you have to replace them. So that tells you when the battery is running low, and then when you open the app and look at it, it'll give you a little battery metric. So there's like a lot of warning. And they don't use very like specialist batteries. I mean, they use little round watch batteries that you can just get at the supermarket for about $10. So yeah, anything that requires like specialist or like specific upkeep or maintenance, I know that once that maintenance or repair or whatever replacement time rolls around, I'm not going to do it. So it has to be really easy to keep going. Otherwise, it's not going to be a useful tool for me, probably.
Yeah, I can see that. Because I know I had a long time ago, I had a flat Tile thing that I could put like just like attached to a book. And then it eventually ran out of battery. And I'm like, I'll get another one of those.
Never happens. Actually, I think with the Tiles, I may be making this up. I believe they may have a little special premium subscription thing you can do, and they will just send you new ones or send you new batteries.
That could be handy. Yeah, because that was The one I had was like 5 years ago now, so.
Again, I use Apple things. I find the AirTags work really, really well and really intuitively. Those are the ones that can do all the kind of matchy pairy with my phone. So if I'm out and about, it knows that I've got my iPad and my EPods with me and will ping me if I leave them behind somewhere. And that has saved my butt a number of times.
I can imagine, because the places that I have left my phone and been like, God, I have to go back like an hour. What am I doing with my life?
Oh, God. And it's just such a bad feeling. And the thing is, it doesn't make a difference where you leave them. It doesn't make a difference if I've put my phone down on top of my chest of drawers while I'm getting dressed in the morning, or if I've left it on a train I took 3 hours ago. It doesn't matter, because once it's out of sight, it is out of mind and it is out of my short-term memory, and I have no record of it. There is no difference in based on the ridiculousness or the unlikeliness or the novelty of that location. It's exactly the same mental thing is happening, which is it's out of sight and it's out of mind. So stop beating yourself up for not being able to find your stuff in your own home. Attach AirTags to things that you like.
And especially, I like when I ring it and I'm like, oh, it was next to me.
Right next to you. Sitting on top of a pile of books.
Yeah.
I used Find My, like the Find My device to find my AirPods this morning, and they were behind me. I just turned around and was like, oh yeah, there they are. My life got so much better when I stopped trying to improve my memory and instead treated myself like someone who had a memory problem.
Yeah, because ADHD is a memory problem. So
it's a memory problem and it's a movement problem.
Yeah.
Almost everything I'm talking about is either things to help you remember or things to help you keep in motion or get in motion. It's my top advice to work by.
All right. Well, let's get into this last tool, which I believe you said was vocabulary.
This one is a bit more abstract, obviously, unlike those other tools, which are, you know, very concrete. But this is just a way of referring to a few kind of ways of talking about common issues or challenges, especially that I started using with my husband. And it just really, really helps us kind of communicate exactly what's going on. I think it is so, so valuable and useful to have these conversations with the people that you live with or the people that, you know, are close to you, just to help both of you really clearly communicate. Because from the outside, I mean, ADHD is invisible. You can't see what's going on necessarily inside someone's head. Also, when you have ADHD, ADHD is also difficult to understand
yeah.
from the inside. So the specific examples that I have, I asked my partner and said, hey, what are the things that, you know, you found that you appreciate since I was diagnosed a few years ago? And he said immediately a few kind of key phrases. One of them was, I'm stuck. So I think, like a lot of your listeners probably, I have problems with getting like physically stuck, like on the couch, in the bed, wherever I am. I just, maybe there's too many things to do and I just don't know where to start and I'm really overwhelmed, or it's something that I don't really feel equipped to do, or I haven't eaten for 8 hours because I've forgotten. So now I'm just really hungry and dizzy, or I haven't drunk water. Whatever reason, I'm having a really hard time just standing up and getting started. So for me, just being able to say, hey, I'm stuck. And what that means is I don't necessarily need him to come over and solve my life or solve my day. Often I will say, hey, I'm stuck. Can you give me a hand? And what that means, he'll literally come over and hold my hand and help me stand up from the couch. And that helps incredibly the getting a hand. So that language around stuck is really, really helpful for the, I have an immediate, there's a road bump here that I just need help with really quickly, if you can. Another one is phrases around climbing the wall versus staring at the wall. And that's something I got straight from an excellent YouTuber called How to ADHD. I recommend her channel very much. It's got tons of practical videos.
Yeah, that's the model from Brendan Mahan.
Yeah, absolutely. Yeah. So Brendan Mahan, and I saw it first through the How to ADHD.
Yeah, she has a great video on it.
Absolutely. It's cartoons. I recommend it. Watch it with your family, your friends, anyone you can track on the bus. And it talks about task initiation and organization for ADHD is often being like a wall where each individual step of it is a brick. And sometimes it looks like you're doing nothing, but actually you're mentally climbing the wall. You're mentally getting over every, working out how you're going to solve a problem. Sometimes you're just sitting and staring at the wall. It's a really good way to quickly check in with my partner if he's seeing me kind of just physically not start a task, be staring blankly at your physical wall in my house for a while, like standing in the middle of the kitchen, halfway through a step with half a cup of coffee in my hand, just vaguely staring into the middle distance, he can say, hey, are you climbing a wall or are you staring at a wall? And what that means is, are you thinking and should I leave you alone or are you a bit stuck and do you need a hand? Mm-hmm. Really, really useful, clear ways of communicating where we're at that have just made our lives a lot nicer. I mean, easier, less frustrating, and more easy to be loving and supportive of each other. And we've started to use that language back both ways because he doesn't have ADHD, but people with ADHD can also, without ADHD, can also get stuck, can also have trouble getting things started or thinking through a problem.
Yeah, I mean, I love that the wall of awful language is so great for just communicating everything and being like, hey, yeah, this is, everyone's going to have issues with doing this. And we all have similar ways of trying to climb it or stare at it or break through it or do any number of things.
Well, it's trying our best.
Yeah. Is there anything you want to leave the audience with before we sign off?
Absolutely. So if this episode was helpful for you or useful for you, you can come and find me online because I talk about this for a living. I run online workshops called the Adult ADHD Starter Kit. You can find that at cognation.com.au. That's cog like C-O-D, nation like the country.com.au because I am Australian. And check out my newsletter, check out maybe a workshop. We run online workshops that just run through some of these ideas and some really practical tools and are a space to do a bit of kind of collective problem solving. So come and check me out online at cognation.com.au, cognation.au on all the socials. But thank you so much, William, for having me on and having this conversation. This was really fantastic. I had so much fun.
I had a great time. Thank you for coming on. Thanks again to Maddie for coming on the show. If you want to see everything mentioned in this episode, be sure to go check out the show notes at hackingyouradhd.com/181. But before you go, let's do a quick rundown of today's top tips. 1. When we're looking at what goes into our toolkit, we need to be thinking of both the physical and mental items that can assist us throughout the day. 2. It's important to work on getting past the idea of what we should be able to do and look at the things that will actually help us do those things. 3. It's important to work on understanding and accepting ADHD as a chronic condition. We need to recognize ADHD impacts on our daily life and work on employing practical tools and strategies to help mitigate those challenges. That's it. Thanks for listening. I'd love to hear what you thought of this episode. Feel free to connect with me over at hackingyouradhd.com/contact. If you'd like links or to read this episode's transcript, you can go to the show notes page at hackingyouradhd.com/181. And now for your moment of dad. What's the difference between a hippo and a Zippo? Well, a hippo is pretty heavy, and a Zippo is a little lighter.